Our first reading is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
The child whose birthday we celebrate today had his name chosen for him before he was born. In the Old Testament, he is called the hope of the ages. Also in the Old Testament, he's called desire of the nation, and no other birth has ever been so anticipated. Two things for us to think about this Christmas morning. First, Christmas is for the victim. Christmas is for the victim. Matthew 1, verse 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. It was a shame culture then, and there was Joseph, who discovers his wife-to-be is pregnant, and he was somebody who is faithful to the law, and yet moral and gracious. He goes for a quiet and not a quickie divorce. Then Mary didn't have much future. She's a teenager. Can you imagine the rumour and innuendo around the community when she, unmarried, was pregnant? Well, verse 22 continues, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through a prophet: the virgin will be a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. See, Jesus doesn't come to a palace. He doesn't come to security. He didn't come to a place which is comfortable. Think about it. What we have is the most vulnerable human being on the face of the planet, which is a baby, in a stable, with no bed, no medical attention, in a crowded, war-ridden country, at a time of great uncertainty. I wonder if there's somebody listening to this message who says to yourself, God with us, you must be joking. Where was God when I lost my job? Or somebody else might say, where was God when my mother died alone, with nobody by her bedside, from COVID in hospital? We may feel, as we end this year, that darkness has dominated. But in all the mess of life, Jesus, we're reminded, is God with us. And the ultimate relationship is with Him. The relationship we're made for, being in relationship with the living God. Christmas is for the victim. God with us, whatever we faced. Think of Jesus, He was a helpless refugee. He wept at the grave of a friend. He knew injustice, for example, a rigged trial. He knew the aloneness of the cross. Christmas is for you if you know you're a victim. Second, Christmas is the wrongdoer. Christmas is the wrongdoer, not God with us, but God for us. Listen to verse 24 and 25 of Matthew 1. When Joseph woke up, he did just what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He'd been told to do that because the name Jesus means he will save his people from their sins. At the end of this year, we don't primarily need to be saved from conflict or poverty or coronavirus. We all need to be saved from our sins. We know, don't we, the pain of broken relationships. We know the pain, I hope we do, of a broken relationship with God, because when we realise that and admit to it, then we can begin to let Him bring things back where they should be. That's that great carol, has the phrase, God and sinners reconciled. Friends, may I wish you a joyful Christmas, whatever you've been facing, whatever you are facing. Isn't it wonderful that God enters into our own reality and meets our deepest need? God with us and God for us. Amen.